curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Welcome, everyone, to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Carla Winchester, and I am once again here with Ron Kitchens. How are you doing this morning, Ron?
I am thriving this morning.
I love it. I love it.
Guess we're not supposed to say morning, though. Faye just rolled her eyes at us, Faye, our producer, because people do not all listen to this in the morning. You know, we know from listener feedback and the data tells us a lot of people are in the gym when they're listening and they're doing this, been on their way to work, but not everybody's in the morning. So good afternoon, guten Tag, wherever you're at in the world. We want to thank you for listening, whatever time it is, whatever country you're in.
Yes, 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 and yes. So today we're going to be talking about something, Ron, that we've actually been working on this topic for quite a while. And it started, we'll just give the backstory of how we got here. So we got here because there was a group of economic developers, actually, that really were asking, how do we identify the next economic development leaders and those people who are kind of in the middle management roles in an agency of economic developers? And how do we begin to invest in them and equip them with the skills and the network that is necessary for them to be ready to take on these organizations as other individuals retire? So we started a group. It's called Next. That group meets every year. It's one of the best groups that I've ever been a part of and feel so honored to be involved with that group. It's been life-changing. But out of that, they asked for more this last year. And so the group at Next asked for more. There was a lot of local demand for more.
A lot of corporate leaders asking us to help develop their kind of next generation of leader in a time where they don't have a lot of resources. They have more money than they have time. But they clearly understand that if we don't accelerate the leader, they're not going to have people to take their place when they want to opt out of leadership.
Absolutely. And then if you compound that with the fact that we know that we're in a talent shortage in the United States, we have more jobs than we have bodies. And it's true that people leave their manager and not their work. There's a lot of power in that middle management layer, and how do you keep your workforce engaged and productive and effective? So we have spent a lot of time talking about that middle management layer and what that means to be in that place. What skills do you need? What competencies are there for you to be really successful and empowered and effective in that role? So today we're going to be talking about just one of the areas that we believe through our work is critically important for success in that middle space.
Yeah, and it's important for the listener to not let bias come in. So we hear middle manager, and boy, a lot of our minds go to the TV show The Office and go to bureaucracy and people who aren't high performing. We're talking about high performance people who need to be poured into so that they can become the next generation of point leader. So this isn't about people who are stuck and have reached a ceiling. This is about people who they may be stuck, but it's because they haven't been poured into. But this is about accelerating leaders, not about mitigating anything.
Exactly. And I would also like to add that it doesn't necessarily mean that you're 100% in the middle of your agency either. Like there
That's
are people
right.
who would
yep.
consider themselves in a middle management role because they have a board of directors that really is very much involved in setting the trend for the organization or setting the goals. And they feel like they're in that middle place where they're answering to kind of two ends of a spectrum. So I think all leaders feel this way to a certain extent. So it's relevant for all. But today's topic is going to be, how do you invest in key relationships? We know that anytime you're sandwiched, there's a little bit of loneliness or a little bit of isolation that you can feel, especially for people who maybe worked their way into this role because they were really, really good at executing in an entry-level position. And now they have reached a level in which they may be managing people that were their peers. And how does that feel? And how do you protect yourself and continue to invest in yourself through investing in key relationships around you?
You know, I think that's investing in relationships is important. And in my perspective in studying this, and Bob Bodine, Bob is a great friend, been a Catalyst University speaker with us, has written a book called The Power of Who. Bob's the relationship guy. And so I learn a lot from Bob. And so it's this idea of understanding that your Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter friends are not what we're talking. Those are communications means. What we're talking about is a small group, and small is relative. Bob would tell you 40 to 80 people that you have to invest in and nurture, and they will serve you. And I don't mean that pejoratively, like this is a transaction, but the relationships with them will serve your leadership at different times in your leadership, but you got to be strategic about it. So, you know, we've written a lot, talked about, and I know we've got a future podcast dedicated to the idea of personal board of directors, but you've got to have people who are advisors to you, who will give you great advice, whose lives are not dependent on your success, their income's not dependent on your success, their validation's not dependent on your success, who can afford to be honest with you, and who have permission to be honest with you. And you've got to develop those relationships. And we'll talk in the future about that. We've had a number of questions come in on via email and asking us to go deeper on that issue. But it's also understanding that you have to have, in a lot of cases, a formalized process. So, you know, one of the things that I've always been jealous of is I was never a president of an organization large enough at the time to be a member of YPO. They do an incredible job of building a network of highly engaged individuals who are in various areas of the country, various industries, come together to make each other stronger. I, along with Eric Canada, who's a consultant in Chicago, and Jones Hooks, who leads the Jekyll Island Authority in Georgia, started a group, 20 years ago, probably now, called Engage, for that very purpose, where we could bring in great thought leaders, men and women, who could share with each other best practices, accountability. And there's other things like C21 out there that allows people to build those networks. But I think it's critical that you have a formalized plan of who those people are before you get in crisis mode. You know, this whole leadership is lonely. It is if you allow it to be. And where leaders make great mistakes is because they didn't pre-think, who am I going to call when it goes bad? And I actually have a list of who I'm going to call when it goes bad. Gina Mark are on my list. And Gina Mark listen to the podcast. They know they're on my list. And we have code words that we use. I'm going to say, hey, guys, I'm feeling this way and I need prayers, and I'm going to get immediate feedback from them. What's going on? They're going to ask probing questions. How do we lead you on this? What do you need? But you've got to have those relationships, and neither Gene nor Mark, you know, need me in any way for them to be successful. We serve each other out of love and mutual respect. And that's key. You got to know where those are. And I have other things, depending on what the problem that can be, I know who I'm going to call, because getting stuck or failing to serve is not an option that I'm willing to live with.
So as you're looking for these relationships, or, you know, you talked a little bit about there's a strategy behind this. And I know it's probably one of those strategies that you haven't sat down and said, you know, I'm picking a person for this reason. But for the purposes of the listening audience today, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask if there are certain things that you're like, you know, I do always call Gene and Mark when, and what are some of those bucket areas that you're like, when I need inspiration, these are the people that I would call. And you don't need to name their names, but I'm looking more for like, what are the types of encouragement, inspiration, energy?
So like all leaders, you know, I read a book not long ago that was an interview of, 100 CEOs. And as we've talked on a previous podcast, you know, one of the hard and lonely things I'm doing right now is interviewing 100 CEOs that have agreed not to publish, not to do anything. It's just to learn. And they all kind of share the same thing. They get into a doubt cycle where they're doubting their own abilities. They're doubting their performance. The world's kind of attacking them, and they forgot why they were successful. And so when I get into that feeling attacked and doubting myself, man, I'm calling Gina Marr. And, you know, and they're saying, oh, remember, you're the guy who did this, and this is where your strengths are. And you know what? The reason you're feeling that way is because you're playing completely out of your own ball game. But, you know, we've also got, you know, things. You know, I believe in coaching. So I regularly hire coaches for areas where I'm feeling either ignorant or inept. And I don't mean ignorant pejoratively. I just don't know enough to be competent. And so I'm regularly identifying those things and in some cases hiring people to get me through that. But there's other areas, you know, the spiritual area. I'll, you know, find that I over-concentrate in specific areas, and one area of my life begins to suffer. Well, I've identified what those pockets are in my life, and I know where I'm going to go and what I'm going to do to address that. And sometimes it's not formal. You know, I know, you know, you and I happen to both share a fanboy, fangirl relationship with Stephen Furtick, the pastor from Charlotte, North Carolina.
Shout out to Elevation Church.
Yeah, we could hashtag that.
Yes.
And so we share that passion. So I know when I am feeling sad, I just get the, you know, you'll get the blues, and mostly it's from exhaustion. So I know that I go to Stephen's podcast. I have met Stephen Furtick. I met him in a receiving line at a Catalyst conference in Chicago at Willow Creek Church years ago. And no, I guess it was the Willow Creek Leadership Conference that I met him at. And so to say I haven't met him, but I don't know him. But I know that if I will set in his leadership for a couple of hours, all of a sudden the blues kind of dissipate. I know if I am exhausted, if I have just been on a run, and you know, my wife knows this, if I say I need to go to the movies, she knows that I've got to go. It doesn't matter what's on. I need to sit in the dark and let my mind empty and eat too much popcorn. Hashtag shout out to free refills of popcorn. And I, you know, and so in putting the, you know, the mint chocolates in the popcorn, I'm really big on that. You know, you got to do those things. But I know that that's what I've got to do. And sometimes it's two movies that I've got to see. But I know that's where my coaching takes place. And I know that's where my leadership evolves. But you know, I've got another friend that I know if I'm having a crisis creativity. I just can't figure out how to deal with, I've figured out multiple ways to deal with the problem and I can't settle on one. I know by a 15-minute phone call with Joe, he is going to help me at least kick out one or two of the solutions I've come up with and narrow that down. So you've got to develop, know where your roadblocks are, or we like to call them where you're in a cul-de-sac. You just can't seem, you're going around and around and around. You just can't seem to get out. Where you're in the cul-de-sac, you need to know, who do you call to help get you to turn left and not right and get out of that cul-de-sac?
So what I hear you saying, Ron, is that in order to really invest in these key relationships, part of it is knowing what are the things that keep me in the cul-de-sac. And so for you, you mentioned, you know, sometimes feeling like down or like the problem is so great and that your energy is running dry. And so knowing that in that cul-de-sac, I need to go towards these outlets, knowing that there's times where I need really hard truth about a situation.
Like, absolutely.
I'm facing something and I need somebody who's not afraid to tell me what really is happening or what I really might be missing about myself. And I need a hard truth person in that circle. For some people, it's I need a person with great inspiration that when I'm around them, I come up with more ideas because their energy just feeds my soul or my spirit. So I think it's part of the challenge of being in this space is really knowing what are the areas in your life that you hit that season or that time and who do you call? It's kind of like, you know, we laugh like, who do you call Ghostbusters? But it's like, who do I call when I keep feeling like I'm sitting at my desk and I don't know what my next best step is?
But you have to think of that in advance of needing it. And that's the hard part for a leader is when you're in those times, when you're in the storm, it's too late to think about who you're going to call to fix the hull of the boat.
Exactly.
You have to know who and what that is. And boy, that is so hard to do. But where you see leaders with moral failures, when you see leaders make unbelievably bad, uncharacteristically bad decisions, it's because they didn't have a plan. You know, one of the things for me lately, and you know this, that, you know, I'm in a time where I'm getting lots of offers to join boards of directors, offers to run different organizations, offers for things. And you begin to think, am I staying where I'm at because I'm stuck and these people see something different from me than I see for myself? And you begin to doubt your own leadership. So I have somebody that I call and say, hey, listen to what was just offered. And they'll go, well, you know why that is, right? Because nobody wants that. You're only thinking it's great because somebody wants to pay attention to you. Or do you really want to do that? How does that serve you? So you have to have somebody who is there for even helping you evaluate the good things. So it's not just the negative things.
So a really practical takeaway for today in this investing key relationships is before you enter the storm and the hull of your boat is damaged, who are the people that you can have on the other end of the line to serve in key critical roles or times that you need somebody to, again, tell you the hard truth, be a source of inspiration, whatever those areas are for you. We just encourage you to get those people identified and start investing there.
Yeah, because the storm is going to happen, and it may be a hull, it may be a rail, it may be a sail, it may be a motor. So you have to identify all the things that can go wrong. When you're out on a boat, you got to know who's going to fix everything, and you identify that in advance. That's what great self-leadership looks like. And if you grant that to yourself, you grant that to your team, you grant that to your organization, you grant that to those you serve, those you love, and those whose mortgages and car payments are dependent on you being great.
So there's your golden nugget, listening audience, and also some homework potentially for you to go and identify those people and start investing there as you continue to grow those key relationships. Anything else you want to add for today, Ron?
No, just know that leadership is supposed to be hard because it's so valuable. And great leaders plan for the tough days. That's what makes them great leaders, not their title, not the corner office, not anything else, is they plan and overcome and have a plan to overcome the tough days so that they can celebrate the great days.
Always great to be with you, Ron.
And you. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.